Reconciling with your wife. When a woman marries a man, it's because she feels she can entrust her heart to him. Now, I'm just reviewing some things that we've learned today. This is key. Don't think it's a mystery when your wife gets more and more frustrated as your marriage gets older. Because she's saying, ultimately, I do not feel what I felt when we were courting. I do not feel safe and secure. But bottom line is, she had made the decision to marry you when she felt cherished, valuable, and safe. Cherished, she felt valuable, and she felt safe. In fact, when I'm coaching guys about writing letters to their wife who's filed for divorce, inevitably I say that's the way you want to. If you could tell your wife what she's feeling, it will help disarm her. Because right now, she doesn't think you have a clue to what she feels. She thinks you don't know her. And that's why she's leaving you, because you don't know her. You don't care to know her. You're into yourself, she thinks. And to keep herself safe, she's going to put distance. She wants a husband-free zone. That's why so many wives will file a restraining order. Christian wives will get counseling from secular places who say, get a restraining order against your husband. Keep him away. Tell him you don't want to talk to him. Don't give him any access to him. Nightmare stuff. But it's very, very common. You know why? Because in a husband-free zone, she doesn't have to deal with you. But what, this is all one thing, safety. I can keep myself safe because when I'm near him, he wounds me. When I'm near him, he makes me feel unimportant, insignificant, not worth listening to. He doesn't care about me. He cares about himself. So guys, that's the bottom line. When our wives married us, they concluded, he makes me feel cherished, valuable, and safe. So number two. So what I've just been saying here, a woman emotionally pulls away from husband only if she starts to feel unsafe. Now, she feels unsafe, and that means she loses trust. That's why you try to talk with her about things maybe along the way, your needs. She doesn't care. That's why if you reach out to touch her and just caress her or give her a massage or scratch her back, she thinks you have something else in your mind. She mistrusts your motives because she's been wounded so many times. Remember, you don't have power to wound the guy down the street so much. He doesn't need anything from you. You don't have power so much to wound some office worker. But your wife has opened her heart to you and said, only you have access to me. And so your wounding might be your silence at the end of a meal because you didn't affirm her, or ignoring her when she asked for help with the kids or whatever. So a wounded wife loses trust in her husband along the way. And get this, if she's deeply wounded, falling into what the scriptures call bitterness, she will think evil of all your motives. In fact, there's a condition, the Puritans called it disaffection. If you've never heard the term, what it describes is somebody being so bitter that they think evil of all your motives. Here's an example. Wife has said, I'm done with you, to her husband. And then she said, I'm going to go stay with my best friend. And so she takes off to go stay with her best friend. And somebody says, oh, your husband's a good guy. No, he really doesn't mean it. You don't know my husband. I know who he really is. She thinks she has the power to know you through and through. And yet the majority of guys who call me to say my wife left me, my assessment is there was not meanness. There was not maliciousness. These were not harsh men who weren't running around their wife. The majority of Christian men who call me were just clueless to their wife's basic needs. That's all. Clueless. I didn't realize what they were doing. And yet the wife is now reading into their motives all these evil things. She's entered into, like I said, bitterness. In the scripture, the person who stands out as somebody who did this was Eliab, who was David's older brother. Do you remember when David went down, he took the food down for the troops and for Eliab and his brothers, when Goliath was standing there taunting Israel? And David said to all those present, who's going to fight this guy? He defames the name of Jehovah, our Lord. Who's going to take this guy on? And it humiliated Eliab, his older brother. Kind of like, you're making us all look bad here, David. So it says, Eliab looked at him and says, I know your heart. He was offended, so he thought evil of David's motives. He says, I know your intentions, your heart. You're down here to watch the battle. You need to get back and tend the sheep. He was wrong. He didn't know David's motives. But when we are offended, we think, what's that guy thinking? What is she thinking? I've told her before, don't park your car here. I hate it when she ignores me. And it doesn't occur to us that it was an honest or innocent mistake. Or that we read evil into someone's motives. But that's what happens. Our wives get so wounded over and over. Finally, she says, I know what he intends. and she becomes convinced. And when a woman is hardened in her heart, she hardens it against God, not just against us. You guys follow what I'm saying? You ever seen that happen? If not your own marriage, some marriage, and you've watched a woman who left her husband and she hardened in her heart. Her eyes used to be full of light and full of life for the Lord, but now she's hardened and she's sour. And if you say something positive about her husband, she will put you down. You don't know him. That's hardened of heart, and that's a scary place. The scripture warns us about falling to hardness of heart. So a woman has a sinful reaction to our neglect or our accidental wounding. Or maybe we were malicious. Maybe we're mean. Maybe we didn't try hard. Maybe we're harsh and explosive. Do you realize a man with an anger problem is probably one of the biggest things that can alienate a wife? He blows up and she recoils. She becomes afraid because of anger. Mind you, she married this guy for safety. And now him and his anger becomes intimidating to her. So the very man she wants to entrust herself to by his anger chases her away. She's his protection. Who does she turn to when the man she looks to for protection is the one who is the threat? Do you follow this? Anger is a huge thing. In my full men's seminar, which we're not doing this weekend, I have a whole session on anger, but it's still, from what I'm told, is not as powerful as a set I have there called Motives of the Heart. And it looks at how pride is at the root of our anger. The greater we think of ourselves, the more intolerant we are of other people. The greater we think, and that's what has to be dismantled. You want a real handle on your anger? It's really rooted in our pride. The way we think of ourselves, and the sense of importance we have about us. All this to say, though, let's back up. If our wife is deeply wounded, then she's going to think evil of all of our motives. And so I'm going to talk tonight about two ways we can relate with our wives, or excuse me, not two ways, but if our wife is only wounded, that's one thing. Be bitter is another thing. So we're going to talk about how to relate to her based on her condition. Roman numeral 3. So the basis for resolving most conflicts is rooted in a reestablishment of lost trust. So what I want to look at are a bunch of things here that do not reestablish trust. Because inevitably, we do the wrong things. Your wife is upset. She's gone to bed offended and hurt. But what is missing is trust. Ask yourself, what will make her trust me again? What my first thought would be, I've wounded my wife, I'll send her some flowers. That'll do it. I remember one day at my office having my secretary, I need you to send my wife some flowers. And because I couldn't get away from the office, I said, just go to the florist. Here's what the note has to say, because I want them delivered. And it has to say, I said some really good stuff on there too, that showed I understood her pain, what I had done and my irresponsibility, how I wounded her. And my secretary, I remember thinking, oh, that's good. I wish my husband would say stuff like that. I said, so I sent it to my wife. But the flowers weren't what mattered. What mattered was the note that identified her pain. That's what mattered. And I'm thinking, I gotta save the money on the note and just, I mean, on the flowers and just send her an email, I guess, huh? Joke, sorry. So here's what will not restore lost trust. First, romantic gestures. Romantic gestures will not restore trust. It's not flowers. It's not let's go on a date. Unless at the root of it is a repair effort to I've sent you the message that you're not important. But it's not like it's magic. It's not like you can go to husband's Acme School for Husbands and you get a list of things to do. You see, it's not a trick. It's not a manipulative trick. It's my wife has this need. She's lost trust. And guys say, oh, man, my first thought is I'll do something romantic. But the problem is a wife says romance is about me liking you more because of what this. So a romantic gesture is still about you, unfortunately, especially if she doesn't trust you. The wound is there. She doesn't trust you. Does this make sense? Am I talking in a way that you're not following? Can you track with me here? All right. Next. Another thing that won't work are apologies. But wait, I thought that's what she wanted. No, she doesn't need us. Our wives don't need us to say, I'm sorry. I blew it again. I'm sorry. Because that's still a statement about you. That's why it doesn't work. That's why you saying, I'm sorry for this. You're right. I come home late from work. I'm sorry about that. And because eventually she's going to hear I'm sorry so many times, it'll be meaningless to her. See, that when you're first married, you're looking at your wife saying, I'm sorry. And she'll say, okay, because he's young and inexperienced. It isn't a whole history of wounding. But 10 years, 15, 20 years into your marriage or more, that's a lot of I'm sorry's, which she has come to not trust. So it'll work the first year. But after that, I'm sorry's don't count. I know I'm talking to guys who aren't newlyweds. That's why I'm saying I put it on my list. That won't work. Not apologies. Confession of everything you've ever done wrong. Now, that may work in the early years, too. But you saying to her, repeating back all the ways that you've done things wrong, that's not the same as saying, here's all the ways you felt wounded by me. You see the difference? Me doing wrong was, I didn't call when I was going to be late. I know I made us late for your mother-in-law's or your mother's thing. And yeah, I'm sorry about that. And I know you always ask me how from the kids, and I don't do it. I'm just surfing the internet when I get home. And that's a bunch of confessions. That doesn't mean anything to her. If you're just confessing what you're doing wrong. Confession is you just simply saying, but what if you say this to her? You have a hard day, you work all day long, you're exhausted. And then your husband comes home and he neglects you and doesn't recognize the service and exhaustion you put in with the kids. How awful that must be for you to feel so alone and neglected. She'll say, you get it, don't you? You see, she's somebody focusing on her wound. So if you start talking about all the things you did to cause the wound, that doesn't help her. She doesn't think, oh, he'll never do this again. Look at, he sees what he does. But if you talk to her about her wound, that, do you guys see the difference? There's an art to this. But it's an art, if you will, you can do more and more naturally. The longer you understand, you just speak out of, your wife is nursing a wound. It's an emotional wound of neglect and pain and rejection. And it happened a lot over the years. But you speak to her about her pain. You say, I know why it kills you. I know why it hurts when I just come home from work and I just get on the internet. Because you've been pouring yourself out for the family all day long without thanks or appreciation. And I come home and I just do my thing. That is the worst thing I could do for you because look how it makes you feel. You see the difference between just confessing wrongs. The subject is the pain she's feeling and what you did wrong is what it, she likes to know you know it. But she wants you more to know the pain she's felt. Does this make sense? That's what I'm talking about when I say here. Guys, by the way, I have this all spelled out in detail on my website. And so if you want to go to ultimatehusband.com and read under the section reconciling with your wife, I have this spelled out so you could actually refer it, highlight it, you know, print it out. And it's going to be in my book, which I'll ready to go to the publisher with in the next month here. I have a brief version over there called Reconciling with Your Wife, but that is 40 pages. The new one will be close to 200 pages. So what I'm saying to you is available in print if you want it. It's online. So confession of wrongs is not the solution. Want to restore trust? She doesn't want explanations. Oh, honey, no, you just don't understand. You just don't get it. Let me lay out for you really why I did it. No, you've got it wrong. You're misjudging me. Let me just explain to you, you know, and you begin to explain to her why you did what you did and really what happened. You set her facts straight. She doesn't want explanations because who's that about? You. And you're thinking, but if you understand, you won't be so offended. Let me get it straight. This is really what happened. Do you see why that doesn't work? Because she's focused on her wound. She needs you to talk to her about her wound. Next, simply telling her that you understand will not restore trust. Because in my coaching, I tell guys, look, our wives need to know we understand their pain and what they've been through. And so I've had guys write a letter to their wife, I understand what you've been through. I empathize with you. And I'll say, no, don't say I understand. Show her you understand by telling her, describing her what she's been through, what she feels, her loneliness, her rejection, her neglect, her lack of appreciation, and her discouragement, her fear for the future. In other words, you describe these things to her, and she'll look at you and say, you get it, don't you? But if you say the words, I understand, it's meaningless to her. In fact, she will use that in her mind to see he doesn't have a clue. Because if he had a clue, he wouldn't have just said, I understand. He would have told me how I'm feeling and my pain. You see, demonstrate you understand, but don't use the words, I understand what you go through. I understand your pain. Next, be careful on the compliments too. Sometimes we just want to say, but you're so good and you're so amazing and you're such a good mother, and we start overloading. Remember, she doesn't have trust. You've wounded her inadvertently, accidentally, because you love your wife. But your actions have wounded her. And so you can't fix it by suddenly getting affirming. One thing, if she's deeply bitter, she won't trust you at all. If she's carrying a bitterness and a wound that's never healing, she won't trust you. But if she's starved for affirmation, and you know that's one of the issues, then certainly affirm her, because you know she needs it. But she doesn't, remember, there's trust missing, and she's likely to think you're just saying that because you're trying to get someplace. You're trying to get out of this. So now you're telling me an amazing wife and mother. You don't have to go there unless she says to you something like, in general, you know, you get affirmation at work, you get job raises, you get job appraisals. What do I get? Nothing. I just wonder what my life is all about here. Tip off, she needs some affirmation from you. But at the moment of trying to restore a relationship, affirmation may not be it, unless you're really good at it. Unless you can affirm her, like I was describing earlier, you know, write her a letter with the kids, affirm her for these things, and you know that she does, put it on a plaque, if you will. But in a moment of crisis, it may not be the best idea to restore trust. Also, what won't restore trust is educating her. Educating her. Honey, you know what the Bible says. That's educating her. Honey, you can't do this. You know, the Bible says this. Or we're Christians. We can't do this because, or maybe platitudes or truisms you state. She's not in the mood to learn from you. Remember, she has no trust in you. She doesn't need you telling her what's going on. That's why when she's stressed out, the last thing you should do, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, dear. Oh, that works really good. Yeah, that one. That one, my wife loved that one. I pulled that out because you look more spiritual. Like, I'm only saying believe the Bible. And you're stressing out and acting like you're not even saved. Wrong. It's not a competition. It's not a battle. Your wife is full of fear. Telling her some platitudes won't solve it. Or if she wants to just dump you and leave you or leave the kids or whatever, just telling her what the Bible says won't do it. I actually had a couple call me once. They were in our church. They were actually leaders in the church, and they did counseling for me, marriage counseling. And he called me one day, one Sunday morning, and says, Reb, we're not there today. Our marriage is in a mess. My wife is threatening to leave me. Actually, I got the call right after church. I remember hopping in my car and driving up to the ranch and getting there, and he gathered the kids in the other room, and I sat down with her, and I looked in her eyes, and she was hard set to determine to leave her husband right then. And she'd started a little business on the side, and she was going to provide for herself, and she was determined, and I thought, they know everything the Bible says about marriage. I can't tell them. I can't look at her and say, the Bible says you can't do this. There was nothing I could do. But I looked in her eyes and realized, this is a woman I knew in college. And she was in love with Jesus back then. She hasn't seen him in a while. So for an hour, I stood there with her. I sat there in her family room and talked to her, reminded her of the beautiful Savior who won her out of the world when she came to the Lord back in the 70s. And she remembered, and it all came back. And an hour later, she stops. She starts crying. She says, I forgot my Jesus. I forgot him. I see him again. What am I doing? I can't do this to my Lord. And she got up. She ran in the other room. She threw herself on her knees in front of her husband and said, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. He looks at me like, can I trust this? I said, you go with this. She was humped, worn herself out. But see, the problem wasn't she needed me to remind her what the Bible said. She was living in fear of self-preservation, enduring a very cranky husband, and so he was, cranky guy. She was enduring in his cranky style, and she felt she couldn't bear with it anymore. He was going to leave. But I knew she didn't have the faith to hang in there and handle her fear. And the Lord blessed, because I tried it. It's not a trick. You can't just talk to somebody who turned their back on the Lord and show them Jesus and expect that every time they're going to turn on them like it's magic. Because sometimes people harden their heart even worse when you remind them who Jesus is. But she fell back in love with Jesus within 45 minutes, an hour of talking to her about him. And that changed everything. So yeah, our wives sometimes need educating, but you're not the person. See, I wasn't her husband. If he had done the same thing, she wouldn't have listened. He was the one she was mad at. When your wife's mad at you or upset or offended or wounded, you have no credibility to teach or remind her of anything because you're the one causing the problem. Yeah, you say that now. You're going to pull anything out of the hat, aren't you? She doesn't trust. But educating your wife will not restore trust. How about this one? Don't correct your wife's misperceptions. She's basing her actions on wrong perceptions. Let me tell you, that's not what happened. Here's what happened. That wasn't my motive. Here's my motives. Remember, it's not about you and her perception. She has no trust in you. So we're going to talk about how to gain trust, but this isn't how. Correcting her misperceptions does not work. If she's accused you of being controlling, don't say to her something like this, "I'm not trying to control you, I'm just trying to guide you." You see, you're defending yourself. She's not saying something. She doesn't need to be corrected. The point is, if she says, "You're trying to control me," what that means is she feels like she's being dominated and controlled. And she's felt like her opinions and wishes are insignificant to you. That's what she's feeling. Feel like you don't care. You just make decisions and announce what's going to happen, and what I have to say doesn't matter. And so she feels controlled and dominated. A better response on our part, therefore, would be, if our wife says, "You're just controlling, too domineering," you say, "Honey, if you felt controlled, that's the last thing I would want for you. You deserve to feel free, loved, and taken care of. It's horrible that I've let you feel this way. I need help in my life. I need some brother to speak into my life then and show me the things I do. Maybe you could tell me, what are the things I do? Because I'm clueless. I've wounded the very woman I want to feel loved. You tell me I make you feel controlled? You shouldn't feel that way." Nobody's writing that one down, but that was really good. Not that maybe because you don't have this issue, but it's an example of what I'm trying to lay out here. That there's a way to talk to our wife that isn't about us. It validates how her feelings are, and then talking to her about the feelings and your concern for her feeling that way. Also, you want your wife to restore trust? Don't implicate her for her contribution. "Honey, yeah, okay, I've done those things, but you've got problems too. We both contribute. Takes two to tangle." Now, okay, this is true. What you're saying is true in feeling, and I know that one. My wife, I'm thinking, at times in years gone by, she would say things to me, and I think, yeah, that's about 4% of our problem. I think you're 96% here. Okay, I'll own this, but has it occurred to you that... Now, I never would say that because I was too wise. I knew I'd reap horrible. She would not be able to handle it, so I did not say it. But I'm thinking that in those earlier years of marriage. But sometimes we don't hold them in, or we don't keep them in. We implicate her, remind her that she's also contributing. She's not in the mood to hear that, unfortunately. Not from the guy in her mind who's hurting her. So reminding her of what she's done wrong will not work. Any words or actions that point back to you, be careful of. Something like, "You know, honey, I've realized it's because in my childhood, this, that, or the other. I do have the habit, and it's because..." And you start to explain. She doesn't care what insight you have into yourself, does she? No. Don't talk about yourself when you're explaining why you do what you do. It's not about you. When she is wrapped up in her pain and despair, in her fear, the nature of fear is self-preservation. She's trying to survive something emotionally, likely. Talk to her about her fear. So here's what will help restore trust. Ready? Genuine empathy. Genuine empathy. Empathy looks at a woman, actually it looks at anybody, and says things like, "That must be awful. You feel that way? That must be horrible. I've left you feeling that way? What a knucklehead I was. I was so blind." Man, that's what empathy says. Women crave it. Now, I'm going to show you a little video that some of you may have seen because it's been floating around the internet for a couple of years. But women love this. Who's seen the video? It's not about the nail. Okay, well, the rest of you will enjoy it for the first time. I've seen it 100 times, and I laugh and cry every time. But women love this. Keep in mind, Sometimes it's a woman who shows it to her husband and says, see, that's what we need. And let's we tested this. It's going to work, right? You go up with volume. I'm going to back up. Can you make the volume go to the max? Perfect. Thank you. Keep going to the max because I remember when we tested it, it was low too. All right. Listen and watch carefully. So, women laugh harder than men at this. They love it. What is it they love? What did she say? I just need you to listen. Now, ultimately, women do want to be fixed, but it starts with the understanding, the fear, the pain. Guys, somebody's chosen to make something as simple as this, floats around the internet, and women all over the country Facebook it to each other and earmark it, and they're laughing and loving, and yet we don't necessarily get it, because I don't know. If I had a nail in my head, I want you to tell me, all right? Say, Reb, the issue's a nail. And I'll say, yeah, I don't need your empathy. Fix the problem. Fix it. But that's where guys and women are different, and that's what I'm trying to illustrate. Empathy is this. It's how you might respond at a funeral. Someone's lost a loved one. You walk up to them and start telling them, oh, I know how you must feel. We lost my mother last year. And then you start talking about yourself. That's not how you offer empathy. Empathy means looking at them and talking about, if I were in your place and I lost my own mom, it would kill me. You must be dying inside. Are you going to be okay? You see, that's what empathy is. Just a little tip for funerals, right? You can make note of that one. Empathy says, I'm thinking about you if I were in your place. And that's what our wives crave. See, she didn't just want understanding, because understanding is one thing, but empathy is what he did. He said, that must be really hard. She says, it is. And it softened her so much she wanted to kiss him in thanks. Genuine empathy is powerful. Remember, they want to know you know what you did wrong, but first they want to know that you understand the pain they felt because of what you did wrong. Guys, it's a new way to think. If I wasn't a coach on the phone with guys every day, coaching them verbally as a counselor and as helping write letters, it wouldn't be part of me. I wouldn't be able to stand here and communicate this so easily. And so I'm looking at guys saying, huh, that's a rough way to talk. No. Guys, I promise, this is life-changing for guys. Because when I finish coaching guys, they go back to their wife who's divorced them, and they start seeing, she opened right up. One guy says to me, hey, Reb, you know, I appreciate you helping me my letter and getting me a letter written to my wife, but I didn't get it back from you until Monday night and Monday afternoon. The divorce was final. And I said, or actually he called me after the divorce was final. I said, look, take that letter and still give it to your wife. He did. And he drove by her house and left it under her front door. And mind you, the divorce was final that afternoon, Monday. Tuesday, he texts me later, or emails me later, Reb. Tuesday, she's knocks at my door and says, I was out jogging and thought I'd stop by. And she looked at me and said, I read the letter. And thank you. And she started to cry. And then she said, I didn't think you'd ever get that. So I get this email like on Friday, and he says, she jogs by my house and stops by to see me every day, 4 days following the divorce being final. His marriage was already in the mends to be repaired because of one thing. He sent her a letter in which he was able to communicate how awful the pain you've been through. Guys, it's powerful. If we can learn to think like that. Now, guys, I'm not a master of it. I know what's right to do, but still, my wife and I, she starts saying things and I take offense. I have to stop and discipline myself. Okay, what would I tell guys? What do I tell guys to tell me? Oh, that's right. Woman, and I'm not kidding. I rehearse it in my head. And then I think of what can I do to state to her how she's feeling right now and how hard that must be. But I do it as a discipline. But it's a lot more part of me now than it was 10 years ago and 20 years before that. This issue of empathy, God only clarified to me in probably the last 6-7 years, that how powerful a tool that is to communicate with our wife. Empathy is powerful. So, next. So the first thing we want to do to restore trust is show our wives we understand and feel for them. This is where compassion comes in. Sincere compassion. Some guys rehearse the right thing to say, apologize the right way. I'm going to ask you something. Let's just say you have to go to someone's house you've never been to before. And as you swing into their driveway to park, their kid, their two-year-old runs out from the lawn and runs right in front of you and you crush him with your truck. You're feeling sick. And so the parents are out there, and these people you were going to visit for whatever reason, maybe for business or something, they take the limp form of their child in their arms, realizing their child is dead and the paramedics are on the way, but they're weeping. Do you say to them, you know what, I'm really sorry. I just want to let you know I see what I've done is wrong, and I'm going to be more careful in your neighborhood next time I come. Would you say that to parents? No. You'd probably stand there and weep with them. And feel badly. Maybe you were not at fault at all. That child broke away and ran in front of a moving vehicle. It was too small to see. There was no real fault at your part. So it's not that you have something to feel guilty over, but you empathize with these parents at the loss of their child, that they hold you responsible in some measure. But you feel for them, and that's what I'm trying to, that's what empathy is. That's what compassion is. You say, oh, I feel. And you weep with them at the loss of their child. But you... And that's what our wives look for. They don't look for a statement of sincere apology, owning what you've done, a promise to do better in the future. Meaningless. Sounds rehearsed. Sounds like a politician apologizing. Don't you love it when politicians take responsibility and we apologize? I want to apologize publicly. And yeah, that's so trite. There's no weeping. There's no remorse at the effect it's had on the innocent in the community who were impacted by their decision and their political. It's just political statements. It's so untrustworthy, right? Do you ever trust those public apologies? But if a politician said, I'm considering resigning, I'm going to resign because of what I've done. I'm not worthy. I violated the trust of the people. I'm going to step down. This is awful. It's intolerable. You would trust that guy. Say, wait a second. He may be the only honest politician there. You would trust him. And our wives are just looking for sincere compassion that demonstrate you get it. Next. Want to restore trust? Well, if she's starved for affirmation, affirm her value. That was one of my points when I was talking about nurturing your wife with affirmation, caring for her in a deep way, telling her that she's such a dedicated mother. In fact, I borrow a paragraph a guy wrote to his wife. This is a little excerpt out of the middle of his letter. He says, you're such a dedicated mother, and you receive so little appreciation for your devotion. You sacrifice and give away so much of yourself every day, and with so little help from me or the kids. Every day you exhaust yourself for the family, and you hear so little thanks, yet you keep going day after day. Now that my eyes are open to you, I appreciate the purity and sacrifice of your love. I know no one like you. I just wish I had seen you like I do now sooner. You deserve so much appreciation and support. Said, written by a guy who looked at his wife who had made clear she's starved for affirmation. That's when you would want to give it. You identify the areas in which she gives herself selflessly and sacrificially and tell her that. Whether through writing, a card, or just in a conversation. Next, want to restore trust? Your words and actions must reflect selfless concern for her. Remember, it's not about finding the magic words. You could go on my website if you're in crisis and you could pull some examples I have off of there and write the most amazing letter with some of my templates. But I warn guys there, as I do with you guys right now, it's not going to be just the letter or the words. It's about that those match your life. And that's why I've spent so much time dwelling and restating and re-saying the same kinds of things. Because if you go home tomorrow with tricks, that won't last too long. It'll desensitize your wife and make her mistrust you, inoculate her. But if you go home with a new understanding and new eyes to see her and who she is and her dedication, her love to you and the kids and what she doesn't enjoy presently from you and what she deserves from you, you go home with this new view, it changes how you relate to her. That's the goal. See, it's not about manipulating your wife emotionally or learning these new tricks. It's about seeing her with new eyes and changing so that your words and actions reflect your selfless concern for her. Next, and final under this section, you need to be able to identify and express concern for her wounds. That's what she's looking for. To identify her wounds and express concern. In other words, if maybe you can say it to her the way she's never said it to you. And here's an example. Rarely will a woman say things like this. I just feel like I can't breathe around you. I feel like I'm suffocating. But my wife said that to me once in our relationship. I don't remember when. She just said, I feel like all the oxygen is sucked out of the air and I can't breathe. And when I went to my mother's house to help her through her sickness for that week, I just felt like I could breathe being away from you. I remember hearing that and thinking, huh, boy, you're irrational, aren't you? That's all I could think is, wow, you really swing, don't you? Back and forth in this emotional mood psych thing here. But really, the bottom line is, if you look at your wife and say, I feel like sometimes with me, you can't really breathe. I don't want to suck the oxygen from the room. I want to be your oxygen. Your wife will look at you and say, I do feel that way sometimes. But she's probably never put it into words. But you're identifying something she goes through, but she's never ever said. And she says she has hope when you talk and give her an illustration of something in her life that she's never said to you. It's like the woman who goes to a doctor and says, Doctor, I have a rash in my arm. Nothing makes it go away. And he says, I know what that is. Let me ask you two more questions. Does your right knee ache and your left eyebrow twitch? They do. How did you know? He says, well, you have such and such a condition. Here's a treatment for it. In fact, I'm going to give you the first pill now. It'll be gone in 4 days. She'll say, before she even leaves the doctor's office, before the medicine's even working, she'll be elated. She'll feel better because someone looked at her and said, I know your pain. I know pain you haven't even told me about yet. And that's what I'm trying to say here. We effectively can be like doctors and be able to put our patient at ease. We, as husbands, be able to look at our wife and say words she's never said. Maybe she never said, I feel alone in all this. But she said to you many times, I feel like I can't do it all. You know who I love to say this to? Our dads are men who are married to homeschool moms. That's really impossible. Trying to homeschool, order a house, that's insane. Trying to do it in this age and do all those classes, you're crazy. I know because my wife owns my kids, and I was sure she was crazy. Not for trying to homeschool, but the effort. Are you kidding what goes on? But if you look at, I love to tell homeschool moms, I think you're crazy. And they love to hear it. Oh, thank you. That makes me feel better. Because I thought I was going nuts, but I actually am to try all this. It makes them feel better. And now my point is not for a man to look at his homeschool wife and say that. But the point is, you look at her, and you put into words, you've asked me for help for years. And here's what she's never used the word alone word. But you say, you must feel incredibly lonely. And she'll look at you and start to cry. And she says, I do. I said, that's intolerable that I've let you feel lonely. You didn't marry to be alone. You didn't marry to have a life partner and live like a roommate. And then she'll say, you're right. And she's never used all those words. That's what I'm saying, guys. You show depth of insight when you can identify and explain her pain in ways that she's never used it when she's been talking to you. Do you see the power of what I'm saying here? Nobody's nodding. You're all staring at me. Do I need to say it again? You're not getting what I'm saying. or you're concerned that you don't have the analytical skills to be able to figure out all these things. Well, I'm hoping from this whole weekend you will be able to put it all together and then get to know your wife in such a way that you will be able to say it to her. Just one more tip. All right. I want to read you some paragraphs, all right, to illustrate what I'm saying right now. These are various ways that guys have, I collected from letters that guys have written, ways a guy can talk to his wife to restore trust, to show empathy. Now, it's two pages worth. I don't know if I'll read all of them, but here's the first one. It's a guy who's had an emotional affair. He spent time at lunch, at work, talking to his coworker, who was a woman, and ultimately it felt good. There was a woman who looked at him at the door. He never cultivated a physical relationship. It was never about sex. It was just he loved having a woman look at him and value him and listen to him and be sweet to him. And he actually secretly fantasized, wouldn't it be nice if this were possible? But he had the morals to not go anything. So this guy, this is an excerpt from his letter. So he writes to his wife, who's now threatened with divorce, left him. So he says to her, when we got married, we took vows of faithfulness that were not to be broken. And you found security in our covenant. I didn't think about it 4 years ago when we got married, but I realize it now that it must have hurt you at the deepest level when I let myself enjoy the attention of another woman. It didn't matter that I gave away nothing physical. I enjoyed attention from someone other than you. Not only did you lose all trust in me, but it ripped you up emotionally. Words cannot convey my regret for your sense of betrayal and loss of security. You married me to find protection, but I was the one who hurt you most. I completely understand why you risked to be near me. What do you think? You think that would help? It did. And that wife who closed her heart looked at him. I mean, the letter was lengthy. It was 5 or 6 paragraphs. That was just one. But ultimately, she softened. She looked at him and says, you get it. It made her think she could trust him because he identified her pain that she'd felt. Here's another one. This guy had committed adultery. It's similar. Here's what he wrote. When we got married, and mind you, this is with my coaching and help. I've tried to direct these guys along the way. And so the parts of the letter, or parts of the paragraph, you'll notice are similar. When we got married, we took vows of faithfulness that were not to be broken, and you found security in our covenant. I didn't think about it then, but I realize now that it must have cut you at the deepest level when I gave away something of yours that was so intimate. Not only did you lose all trust in me, but it ripped you up emotionally. The devastation of what I did was so great that I understand why God told Israel to execute all adulterers. Words cannot convey my regret for your sense of betrayal and a loss of security. You married me to find protection, but I was the one who hurt you most. I completely understand why you want your distance from me. Another version of the same kind of a paragraph. Here's one on controlling leadership. The man looked at his wife left her husband saying, I can't stand it. I can't handle this anymore. I'm out of here. You just domineer. You control me. And here's what he wrote to her. Some of your pain to which I've been awakened now resulted from my leadership. By the dominating way I led our home, you must have felt like a concubine. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that I let you feel that way. You married me because you thought I'd make you feel valuable and cherished, but I barely gave you a voice in our home. How worthless that must have made you feel. What a fool I was. You must have felt like someone starved for oxygen, and now apart from me, you can finally breathe. That gives a woman hope, because he's putting into words what the pain she's been through and is going through. Here's one. It's about being a poor listener. He writes this: as I look back over our marriage, I realize now that all those times you tried to share your heart with me, I would shut you down like you were attacking me or starting an argument. What a fool I was. I didn't see it then, but I see it now. You were making yourself vulnerable every time you tried to talk to me. You were revealing your concerns. You were afraid your shoulders weren't broad enough to carry the load of our home and family all by yourself. You were afraid for our future as a couple. You feared for the well-being of our children. You took a risk and bared yourself to me over and over until finally you couldn't bear the pain anymore. How awful that must have been for you. Please know this: no matter what happens between us in the future, I will always try to be safe with your heart. Women want to hear that their husband understands. There's not complaints. It's, you were just afraid. You weren't nagging me. You were afraid of not being taken. You were feared for our future, our well-being, etc. Well, this is good enough just to give you some ideas of the way some guys have talked to their wives. Our primary goal in restoring relationship, get this, the preeminent goal is not about restoring the relationship. Say, but wait, I just thought the goal was. Of course you want restored. But that's self-serving effectively. Yes, you want it for the family. But the goal, her heart is wounded. Your goal is to help her heart heal. If the goal is really to help her heart heal, the natural response of a woman with a healed heart is to restore the relationship, because she doesn't want it gone anyway. Do you follow that? If our goal is just to, okay, tell me the things I can do, Reb, to fix our marriage, and so you want to hear what helped. Well, no, the goal isn't just to fix your marriage. The goal is to help her heart heal. You've stepped on her heart accidentally. You're wearing golf shoes. Now her heart is bleeding. And you help her heart heal, because then a woman with a healed heart will want to, and most likely, restore the marriage. You see the difference? Because that's more about her than just you saying the right words to get her to not leave you. But this, as I've been trying to declare, is about restoration of trust. Your wife's aching for somebody just to validate her feelings, to feel for her and her heartbreak. Why can't it be you? It can be us. It can be us. So, Roman number 5. So what do you do? Here's the practical steps. What do you do when a conflict starts? All right? Let's just say you get home and your wife has been saving up frustration because you've been gone. And so you walk in the door and immediately she starts in. Well, you were gone up there out of cell service. You know what was going on here? I don't know why you pick a retreat. You're up there shooting guns and stuff and smoking cigars, doing your thing. And I'm down here with the kids and you're out of cell service? Next time, pick a place with cell service. And you're just, come on, guys. Let's just imagine those kind of things happen tomorrow when you get home. Some kind of attack. You're going to be tested. And one guy said, I just looked at my wife when that happened, because it's not uncommon. And I looked at her and said, you're beautiful when you're angry and you're beautiful when you're happy. Sorry. How can I help? That's the last thing I want to do, is leave you feeling alone and out of touch. What can I do? And then just listen to her words. Say this, and don't defend, don't explain. Don't tell her why it wasn't a threat. Say, what a horrible way to feel. I don't want to go away and leave you feeling that way. Should I kill one of the children? You're worth it. I think I can cover it up, make it look like an accident. Of course, you're only joking, but it'll tell her he gets it. He gets it. So, a conflict starts. What do you do? First, choose to stop taking her words personally. Yes, she's attacking. Yes, our wives are powerful with words more than us usually. And yes, a wife can emasculate her husband in an instant sometimes, because she knows us better than anybody else. And she knows the low blows. And she knows what she can say to get to us more than your buddy can. They know what to say, and it can get to us. And they're powerful. Ignore the effect and listen to it. In other words, don't take it personally. Make that choice. Don't take it personally. And don't look upon her words as complaints. Don't think she's just complaining. Remember, that's what we tend to do. And next, don't argue with her. In other words, don't correct her factual misstatements. Well, honey, you know when I go there, there's no cell service. You know, I can't. Don't. You're entering into the conflict. Ask yourself, what's really going on? What is she afraid of? She felt alone and out of touch and out of control, and it made her uncertain. You're her hero. She couldn't contact her hero, you know, the whole time, and it made her feel out of touch because she can always contact you wherever you are, but here she couldn't, and that made her afraid. You see what I'm saying? Stop and ask yourself, what are the emotions behind her passionate words? That's it. What are the emotions? Ask yourself, what is she afraid of? Is it finances? Is she afraid for our future? Is she afraid that if I take this new job, there won't be retirement? Well, who will take care of her? Is she afraid that this is going to cost us? It's a risk, a financial risk? What is her fear? In other words, if you're able to identify her fear, you look at her and say, honey, I don't want you to ever be afraid for that. If I have to lay my life down to keep you safe and taken care of, I'm going to do it because you're worth that to me. I don't want to ever put you at risk. See, she doesn't need you to explain, defend. She needs you to identify her fear and give her courage to face the thing that she thinks threatens her. So what's behind it? Is it loneliness? You work a shift that makes her never see you. You sleep all day, you go to work job at night, I don't know. What is it? You have to be gone a length of time for your job, and is she just lonely? Is that it? Like I said, I'd be gone occasionally working evenings, and it changed one day in my life, and I looked at my wife and said, whenever I have to work late, it kills me, because I didn't marry to be a single man. I married you to be with you, and when I'm not with you, it kills me. And you, thoughts of you are my biggest distraction at night that I'm at the office. My wife says, really? That's it. Her need for loneliness was met by knowing I'm thinking about her. Now, not every woman's that way, but I'm speaking to as an example how we can deal with our wives when they feel alone or lonely. Maybe she's afraid of your future as a couple. She's afraid what'll happen to your life if you're not together, or is your relationship falling apart? And she's afraid for who you are and wondering, do I love this man anymore? Or the house falling apart. Or my husband keeps saying that we're going to do a room addition, but by the time he gets to it, the kids will be grown, gone in college, and you'll need a smaller house, not a bigger house, and you really need it now. And what about this house? And she's afraid, a fear related to it. Ask her, what is, she needs you to look at her and validate her fear. As the guy did about, that must be really hard. The kids, afraid for the kids. My wife used to say, honey, I'm afraid that by the time you get around to doing devotions, family devotions with the kids, they'll be in college, they'll be gone. It'll never happen. Please don't treat our children like a house project. Like a house project. Well, I put a piece of molding up in the bathroom this year. Next year, if I have time, I'll put that other piece of molding up in the bathroom. Because that's how my habit was. I was a busy guy in life, traveling the countryside, and my house projects were slow. And she said, I'm afraid our kids will be gone by the time you get their bathroom done. But I would just write her off, rather than think it's not realistic with my life, say, you're worth taking a day aside to finish the bathroom. The house, is it a fear? The kids? Maybe extended family relationships. Maybe there's trouble with a mother, her mother-in-law. Or maybe she feels like you choose your family over her. Name it. And then say what's true about it. Honey, you're right. I guess I've been intimidated by my parents for years, and I will always choose them over you. And that's wrong. I married you. The Bible says leave and cleave, and I've kept this loyalty to them that makes you feel like you're second class. That's the last thing I want to make happen. See, but you can only say something like that after she's identified she's afraid, related to extended family relationships or whatever. How about being a bad mother? So a lot of women live under guilt. I'm afraid that I'm just going to ruin my kids. By the way, I get angry and blow up, and I'm afraid I'm going to ruin them, and I... Is that what it's about? Fear? Well, she may not say all this. She just may say, you're a bad father. So it's easier to say, you should be making up for the weakness I have as a mother. But the issue isn't that you're a bad father as much as it is she's living under the guilt that she's not a good enough mother. So she's looking to you to make up for her inadequacies. That could be it. The question is, do you have to follow it up with a solution? It starts with you understanding. The beginning of it is just simply empathy, saying, this is how you feel. Now, what I do sometimes is I look at my wife and say, I don't have an answer. I'm supposed to be the answer guy. People call me, I don't. Who do I? I'll call so-and-so tomorrow. My mentor was Rick Fugate, wrote one of those books over there. I say, let me call Rick tomorrow. He's always got an objective insight. Let me call him. I'll get his take on this because I want it solved. We need this solved. But it starts with at least putting her at ease because you've identified her stress and her fear. Does that help?
Yeah.
And sometimes I have a solution, but I don't offer it immediately. As soon as my wife, now, because every woman's not exactly the same. My wife, she's quick to want a solution after I've looked at her and identified the pain and the problem. Say, you're really afraid of this, aren't you? And that's when she cries, she falls in my arms, yes, that's it. And they say, well, we'll solve this together. That's all. She wants to know we're going to solve this. I don't have to have the solution right then. Does that help?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, can it be, oh, I understand the pain you're going through and everything else. Now let me pull the nail.
Yeah.
Or does that?
Nope. I understand your pain. Now let's yank that nail out of there.
Right.
Nope. You sit down with her. You work through options. You know that she needs the nail pulled.
Right.
But you still, what are our options here? What do you suppose? What are the elements to this? And discuss it with her and say, one of the options is pulling the nail. What do you think? Ultimately, that's exaggerated, but the video we watched was exaggerated. But you know what? You don't have to solve it right away. It depends on your wife. My wife doesn't mind immediate solutions. Other women, they need you to hold them a little longer and comfort them before you solve it. And if you just, you know what you're going to do? You're going to yank that nail, but right now you don't tell her. You just say, we're going to solve this, baby. You don't have to keep going through this. There's a solution here, and we're going to find it. And that's what puts them at ease. So, finally, address with empathy what you think are her root emotions. Have I left you feeling lonely? Like that. You afraid for our future? Jesus knows your fear and wants you to rest in Him. I know. We know that. He wants this for us both. That's what my hope is in. But you identifying it and expressing it with empathy and compassion is so powerful. That's where it begins for wives. I'm not kidding. If you guys could make this part of your makeup in dealing with your wives, you'll write me letters and you'll say, I couldn't believe how it changed. Because that's what happens. Our wives are craving this kind of help and this input. I get letters from women all the time. Just got an email this afternoon. A woman said, I found your website. I couldn't believe it. You described me to the T. You know, how do I get my husband to read your website now? Very common. And I, well, let's talk about one thing at a time here. And I have a woman today, she says, you described me to the T. I'm the hardened wife. I don't want to be hardened before God. How do I get unhardened, hardened against my husband? But guys, why do these women keep saying, you've got my number, you figured it out? That's what they crave from us. That's where it starts, is being able to identify their pain and feel for them in it. Then ultimately, you have a solution? I don't say, let's call so-and-so. You respect him. But you have the front row seat to your wife's heart and therefore can most quickly identify her issues. And she'll see, guys, it changes our whole role in relationship. Instead of you being the person she becomes afraid of and mistrusting, you become her greatest trust. Your relationship changes. And that, I mean, it builds so that you can enjoy incredible relationship. People tell me as it goes on, as men learn to relate with their wife in this way, the women find such security because they're no longer competing with their husband. They no longer end up in these arguments because the husband ends up listening, hearing the source, the fear behind the question, and then validating that and working to bring a solution to that with the help of somebody else. Women calm down as soon as you, that's why in the video, she calmed down as soon as he said, that must be really hard. She says to herself, he gets it. And she relaxed and she wanted to kiss him because he understands. All right. We're ending this time, but I want to direct you to something at the end of your syllabi. It's called a worksheet for determining how we are wounding our wife. I've got it on my website. I require it for guys who need my help. And what it is you could use it for yourself. Go through and talk. Use it to figure out what's going on in your life, basically. You see that worksheet? It's the last 3-4 pages of it. And it asks you questions. Do you neglect your wife and family at home because you're obsessed with work or making money or out with friends? Yes or no? If yes, how do you think that makes your wife feel? Now, the wrong answer is it makes her feel mad. That's the wrong answer. Of course she's upset. No, the right answer is it makes her feel unimportant and neglected. Guys, this worksheet will help you dial in to your wife's real needs. Well, and you could even theoretically take this worksheet and then go over it with her at some point, theoretically, and say, here's what I've seen. This is a worksheet I got at that men's thing, and I've gone through it here. I realize I'm critical of you. You can't do anything right. You do it, and I find fault with it. How awful that must make you feel. How inadequate to be married to a guy who you want to feel safe with, and yet I make you feel so inadequate. You guys see what I'm saying? This worksheet, if you just use it on your own, can do good things and help you discover more about yourself and your relationship. Well, we are done for the night. I would like to pray, and we're going to continue from here. We're doing other things, probably more nighttime shooting with laser scopes and tracers. Father, we rejoice. God, I rejoice that you've not left us without help. I thank you, Lord, for your word. For the insights, I thank you for my wife and her ability to help coach me so I can coach others. God, I delight, Father, in all that you've given to us. You've not left us blind and ill-equipped. I pray that the things we've said tonight, Lord, will affect these marriages. Lord, perhaps for generations to come, Lord, children and grandchildren will be impacted because of the things we've discussed today. Hallelujah. Please do good things with all that we have set ourselves to and the discoveries we've made. Empower my brothers here tonight, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.